this scripture as a parable teaches the Father rejoices and celebrates. And hear me now, I don't know how to read this except to describe it as God in the house dancing and celebrating with His people because something good has happened. I dare you to go in that house. I dare you to dance with God. Now, the problem is that our mind immediately goes to the physical. It goes to feet and goes to arms, but you can't get a hold of God's arms, can you? Can't grab His hand with these, can you? Can't wrap your arms around Him or have Him wrap His arms around you physically, so we must be talking about a spiritual thing here, and we are. What I want to do is I want to build in our hearts an image of saying, Father, You've been so good to me, and just let that goodness start radiating in speech, in action, in attitude. Now, I can just about guarantee you that you may start doing some things that other people are going to raise their eyebrows at. And when they do, you need to reread 2 Samuel 6, which is where we'll close. David had had an astounding time in his life. He had finally returned the Ark of the Covenant to Israel. It had cost a man his life. And we don't have time here to preach on Uzzah. But encapsulating something that's in a chapter of the book, David was so moved by the grace of God that He'd given him a second chance. First time they tried to take that Ark of the Covenant back, man, God dropped a man dead because they weren't doing it right. Because they had rushed and disobeyed. Obedience does matter. But the second time, when they do it right, David loads them all up and they're scared stiff and they're holding that ark and they take 1, 2, 3. I think Lynn Anderson, I love the way he describes it. They take 6 steps and look around and say, anybody dead yet? No. Well, then let's set it down and celebrate. Let's just thank God. We've gone 6 steps and nobody's had a heart attack. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And they pick it up and they keep saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And David just can't hold back and he gets his jacket off. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And David gets all the way down to just, he wasn't naked. Scripture says a linen ephod. He gets all the way down to, if you will, his work shirt. He gets all the way down to a servant's robe. And he just says, thank you, Lord. And he's dancing. And he's dancing out there with the maidens. And they're praising God into the city. And hanging out of a window with a face as red as a beet is his wife. And she's saying to herself, And the translation of that is, what are the ladies at the Jerusalem Auxiliary going to say about this? How in all that is holy am I going to go back to the club when they say, well, saw your husband yesterday. Cutting a rug with the servant girls, wearing his t-shirt, yes. My, his legs have held up well through the years. By the time David walks in the door, she is loaded to forbear. David's killed them before. And when he walks through the door, yes, he must have been sweating. He must have been tired. He'd been dancing with God all the way back saying, thank you, Lord. And he comes in and he opens the door. And who's had the air conditioner on all day? It's cold in that house. Well, didn't we make a spectacle of ourselves? Didn't we have a good time dancing? I hope you're happy. And David thinks, oh, honey, not today. And David cuts Michael off at the legs. Read it. Verse 21, it was before the Lord. First words out of his mouth. We're dealing with a God thing here, not a you thing. It is before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. Can you say that with David? Let's say it together. I will celebrate before the Lord. Can you say that in grin? This is two things at once. Don't try this at home, but let's try it here. Here we go. Say it with me. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this. And I will be humiliated even in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I'll be held in honor. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children on the day of her, till the day of her death. And you can interpret that a couple of ways. David kicked her out, or God cut off her future. And with either one, I find nothing in Scripture to tell me that the father didn't quietly nod. David is never rebuked for that rebuke, and Michal is never redeemed from that moment. Now, folks, Michal lepsy is serious stuff. It's a disease of the eyes, and it points them in the wrong direction. First, let me say, you get your eyes off the praise of other believers. We need to swear off being the gospel Gestapo that run around saying, "Do you see how she was singing? Do you see how he was standing? Did he raise his hands during that?" That's between them and the Lord. Okay? Second, I dare you. I dare you to decide that you will say with David, "I will celebrate. We must celebrate. I will let my praises wing in my car, in the worship service, in the lobby of the church, in my home, with my friends, in my Bible study, in my quiet time. I will celebrate. And when the rain comes, I will celebrate. And when the winds blow, I will celebrate. And when the people say, 'What's he doing?' I will celebrate. And if I am moved to say, 'Praise God,' I will do so. And if I move to say, 'Hallelujah,' I will do so. And if I move to raise my hands, I will do it in honor to God. And I will never, ever, ever, ever say to God, 'I'd love to praise you right now, but it just doesn't seem appropriate. But as soon as I get home, I am going to honor you.' Promise. Promise. Promise." Brothers and sisters, I'm here to repent. I'm here to repent of both watching you and not watching you. But when you dance, you keep your eyes on your partner. You don't look at the crowd. You look at the crowd and you get dizzy. You look at the crowd, you get self-conscious. You look at the Father. Oh, you look into the loving face of a God who sent His Son to die for you. You look at Jehovah and you forget all else. And you say, "God, lead me. For I'm willing to walk, to leap. God, if you want, I'll dance. Father, I just want to do it with you. For if I do it with you, I have all I need. And God, forgive me when I'm worried about what you're going to do and how I might look, what some folks might say. But God, keep sending me back to your word and then lifting my eyes to your face, I pray." Oh, dancing with God's not an orderly thing. I lived for 3 months, 5 minutes from a cathedral that had been around since the year 1000. I want to tell you this and send you out those doors to lunch with this image. A cathedral in Winchester has one window that is so bizarre it'll stop you dead if you ever go there. And it's the very first window you see. Huge stained glass window. Every other stained glass window is apostles and prophets and Jesus and Mary. And then you see this one window that is modern art. It's just a higgly-piggly, as they'd call it. Just all these scattered colors. And I stood looking at it thinking, "Ooh, this is cool. They're updating the cathedral. What a cool modernist move." When one of the docents explained to me, that window was blown out by Cromwell when nearly 3 centuries ago that man tried to overtake England and destroy the monarchy. They rode into town, and to do one thing that would deface the city, they blew out the most beautiful stained glass window in all the south of England. And the people of the city hid in their homes while Cromwell's forces rode through and shot it up. And after they had left, the people from the city ran out and saw what has happened. And the older women opened their skirts and began to pick up pieces. And they took the pieces home and they hid them in their houses for over 2 years. Until Cromwell had been defeated and the monarchy was back on the throne. And then they assembled at that place and stood staring at that hole. And these old women began to bring pieces out of their houses. And they said, the window must go back. And they tried to begin to reassemble. What did it look like? How was it we had done it? And they finally said, let this be done by the hand of God. And they just started putting pieces in. And when it was over, they sang. It is the only window in the world I know of whose designer, if you look it up, was Jehovah God. For He just flung it there again. And it has stood to this day. Oh, I love the other stained glass windows. They remind me of the order of my life. But brothers and sisters, God says, you give me a chance, let me smash a little bit of that order and show you what I can do with a life when you just grab my hand and we say, let's go. Let's pray. Father, we gather before You asking for the faith to dance, to step out, to take Your hand. God, I want Your tempo. Oh, thank You for Your Spirit, Lord. Thank You for the filling of it. Thank You that it goes with me wherever I go. And God, I pray right now that You would give the strength to any who's struggling in this audience to say, oh God, I'm scared. I might be foolish. Lord, I can feel what You may be moving me to say, to do, but God, I'm struggling. Lord, release Your church from bondage by helping us to let go of all that we see and take hold of Your holy and invisible hand. Father, we don't want to stand outside with the older brother. We ask, may we come in? May we celebrate with You. Lord, I know You're saying, come on in. We come, Lord. We come. In Christ's holy name, all who agree say, amen.